You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. Talking games and movies and actors.
Word? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
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 Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. My name is Jamie and I am your host. We are so excited to bring to you this week's episode, which I personally am really geeked out about because I love horror movies. If you have not seen the new film, Mr. Crockett, on Hulu, then you are missing out. We are pleased to present to you director Brandon Espy and actor Elvis Nolasco, who stars in the new horror film as a part of Hulu's Huluween, called Mr. Crockett. Mr. Crockett is about a mysterious children's show host who magically emerges from TV sets to kidnap young children, brutally slaying their parents in the process. After Mr. Crockett snatches her son, one determined mother embarks on a perilous quest to track down the demonic entertainer and rescue her boy. In this interview, we chat with Brandon Espy, who is the director, and Elvis Nolasco, who plays Mr. Crockett. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast featuring director Brandon Espy and actor Elvis Nolasco of the new Hulu film, Mr. Crockett. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds. I really appreciate it. I look forward to our conversation today.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you, Jamie. I've been looking forward to it, you know, like I'm a big fan of you, so.
Oh.
Well, I second that, and I haven't met you yet, but you know, the talk about Black Girl Nerds podcast has just been like electrifying. So really excited to be here.
Well, thank you again for having me. I am such a fan of this film. I did a TikTok talking about the five horror movies that you should check out this spooky season, and Mr. Crockett is on the list. So I'm so amped up to get everybody and get the word out to get everybody to check out this film that's coming out tomorrow. So Elvis, I'm going to start with you. You know, Mr. Crockett has this evil, maniacal laugh that really sticks with you long after you've watched the film, and it really gave me chills. What was your process in crafting the right evil laugh to scare audiences?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I just took myself through a process of doing some exercises and some work. And some of that process was being able to write my own character bio. And in writing this character bio, I was able to tap into Mr. Crockett, or young Mr. Crockett, as pain. And once that pain became like really clear for me, it was just one of those moments that I said, okay, so this is where the pain began. And this is where the laughter also began, because the laughter is a suppression. He's suppressing the pain, and he Mr. Crockett, or should I say young Emmanuel Crockett, is in a position where he cannot cry. He cannot express himself. The pain is just so deep that it just starts with a sound, that sound leads into the laughter. And that's where he finds his way of being able to, as an adult, live the life that he's living. But that laughter is the laughter of pain, coming from pain.
Do you think it's very cathartic for him? Like, it's an emotional release also, the laughter?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you watch different movies, and you watch The Joker, and you watch Candyman, and you watch these other movies, and you hear different laughters, but that laughter is coming from like either a pure evil place. And I think that Mr. Crockett's laughter is creepy as F, but it's a laughter that is, if you really listen to it, it's just coming from a lot of pain, and it's a very unique laughter. So thank you for saying that, because it's been a question a lot of folks have been asking about. But then again, Linda Page, so I was able to be able to tap into a lot of what was on the page.
Yeah, I mean, again, it sticks with you. It's so creepy and very well done. And I do love the fact that we get an origin story and sort of some backstory as to why Mr. Crockett becomes the villain that he becomes in this story. Brandon, over to you. This is your first feature, and it's based off of a short film of the same name that you did a few years ago. Did you always have the idea mapped in your head for a longer story, or did it take you some time to develop this into a feature?
I always had the idea of having it develop to a longer story. And right before the short came out, I already had like a feature outline in mind of how I wanted this world to kind of be painted out. And obviously, it's suggested since that initial thought and that outline. But since we got into the whole feature part of it, I kind of just like, I think the mind has been racing for like different ways that Crockett can expand and, still questions got to answer, especially diving into his backstory, other parts and elements within Crockett's world that I've built out that you haven't seen yet. So like I have ideas, I'm a big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street, I'll say that. So I would
Yeah.
love to be able to keep going in that kind of way if I'm allowed.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope so. If this is an example of your work in the horror genre, I definitely want to see more that you've got in the vault there of ideas.
There's a sleep mine in there.
Exactly. Elvis, you play this game show host, this children's game show host that has this very genteel nature to him, but he's also got a very dark side. Was everything informed of your character written on the page, or did you add more to his character, or even felt inspired by other evil characters, fictional, to craft and develop him?
That's a good question, and I think Brandon can best explain what happened on the set on the early first couple of days of shoot. But yeah, I just felt that when this project was presented to me, and I just listening to my manager tell me what this project was, just listening to it, I immediately felt as an artist that this would be something that I can bring my 30 years of experience, whether it's in musical theater, whether it's singing, whether it's playing dramatic roles, whether it's I've just felt like here's a canvas, here's a piece of a canvas that I can just come in and just paint so many different colors and so many different levels, and I can bring so many of my experiences, whether it's doing a one-man show, whether it's dancing, singing, whether it's doing work with children, my years of working, with different organizations in New York and Philadelphia, with children's theater. I just felt like here's a space where I can bring all of these past lessons and information that I've gained throughout the years and put it in one place. I hope that was answering your question, but it was just really a space where I was allowed to stick to the script because the script was perfectly written, but also find room to let go and to be creative and whatever I'm feeling in the moment, not feel restrained, I wasn't going to have a director that was going to be like, oh, don't do that. I had a director that's like giving me the freedom to go ahead, try it, just have fun.
And you definitely look like you were having fun. I mean, it's such a really incredible and unique story, Brandon, that you bring to the screen with this character, Mr. Crockett. And I gotta ask you, Brandon, the catchy children's theme song, that just creeped me out. And that also sticks with you. Along with Elvis's maniacal laugh, this theme song for the children's program just really resonates with you. And I wanted to know, what was the process with coming up with that song? Because it really felt like it was a supporting character in the film.
Yeah, well, luckily I have a built-in focus group in my house, my kids, and so I would test out different renditions of the song until it hit. Like, and then I think once this rendition that I put together, like an hour later, they were singing it throughout the house, and then at night, and then I was like, okay, that's it. And so for that and all the other songs, that was my process. Like, I didn't move forward with it until they couldn't stop singing it.
It's an earworm. I was singing it constantly after the film had ended. Elvis, it's spooky season. Halloween is coming up soon. We here at Black Girl Nerds, we love horror movies and the horror genre. What is your favorite horror movie of all time? And I actually want to ask that of Brandon as well.
Oh, man. There's a few of them, and like just going to the time of, growing up, Lost Boys, was a
Yes.
favorite of mine. Fright Night was a favorite of mine. And of course, like the first Halloween was just classic. The first Halloween, with Jamie Lee Curtis, for me that was just classic. And then there's just so many films I can go on and on and on, but Rosemary's Baby was one of the most creepiest films I've ever watched. And maybe they fall in the Halloween category or not, but when it comes to just being creeped out, that list just really for me, answers the question.
Those are some good classics that you brought up. Yeah. What about you, Brandon?
Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Yes.
One of my favorites. So that's something I could like watch like forever. Poltergeist 1 and 2, I love those movies too. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Brandon, this is a very unique horror film, and it doesn't fall into any tropes or stereotypes of Black characters that we've seen in the long history of this genre. Why was it important for you to tell this kind of story? And do you feel compelled to tell more stories within the genre? I mean, I think you've kind of answered that already.
Yeah, no, definitely a lot of stories that I want to tell within the genre with themes that resonate not only to, I think it was important to me to not only have it resonate to Black people, but to other cultures as well.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it is coming from a Black perspective, but it's not in a way to where other people can't relate to it. And I think me also being like, a parent at a certain age, I wanted them to see a mother at a certain age and what she may be going through. I know a lot of times it may be a younger final girl type of character. And I think I was just kind of just like following my intuition when it came to building the characters around this villain, especially in general. I always wanted to make a Black villain. And so when it came to Mr. Crockett in general, like, I mean, I have obviously other ideas that I'm not going to say, but yeah, I would love to build out the roster of horror villains and, showcase it. 'Cause I feel like, we had Candyman, but not many others. And so I was very excited to bring Crockett to the scene.
I mean, you nailed it by saying the word universal. This is a universal film, and I honestly, it doesn't feel like it's a Black film. Like, it's just a film and a story that has Black characters in it, and that's what was refreshing to me. I definitely there's space for those type of stories that are centered around the Black experience that's in the horror genre, and we've had plenty of those. But I like the fact that you've crafted this horror story that have Black characters in it, but it's not necessarily about the Black experience. And there's room for those stories as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So I really appreciate that perspective of what you brought to Mr. Crockett. Finally, for you, Elvis, is there, there's so many really great scenes, and you really look like you were having a great time. Is there a scene or a moment that still resonates with you long after shooting this production?
It's hard to pick one scene because I think that working with such an amazing cast, working with Aiden was just very magical. I think that for me, in that moment, of the film where, he's with Aiden and there's this scene, I don't want to give anything away, but it's a scene that requires a lot of care, and I really wanted to make sure that that specific scene was played with a lot of care. And Brandon and I went back and forth a little bit because of the substance that is in the scene. And, I just wanted to make sure that Mr. Crockett was continuously seen as a caring, kind of parent figure. So that scene specifically, when he's about to send Major, played by Aiden, onto this mission, for me that was just a very memorable and important scene because it just showed these two characters this bond, and the way Aiden played it. I get emotional just thinking about it because the kid is just so talented, and he just handled everything like such a grown-up, and I'm like, where they find this little kid from, but yeah, that scene again, without giving it away, the people will see it, what scene I'm referring to, but it's the scene where he's talking to him like, I am your father, I am your parent, and you may not understand certain things in life, but sometimes we have to make some really drastic decisions. So that, out of all of the other gory and creepy and horrific stuff that goes on, for me, that was the one that really centered and was a really beautiful scene.
There, this film, it takes you through a roller coaster of emotions as well, because there's scenes like that that are very moving and gut-wrenching. There's the horror moments in the film, and then there's like some funny scenes.
Oh, yeah.
The very first scene with the kid and how he responds to what happens to his dad had me in stitches. But I absolutely love this film. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds. I really appreciate the conversation. All the best to you guys. And I can't wait for everybody to see this when it premieres this weekend.
And thank you.
Thank
Thank
you
you
so
for
much. Thank you.
all you're doing, for us, for the culture, and your passion for horror. We really appreciate you. And last but not least, that background of yours is just amazing. I'm like, just look at all your toys and stuff.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Awesome. Well, you guys take care. Enjoy.
Right.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.